This is WGTDHD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Guida Brown, former executive director of the Hope Council, Dr. Steve Brown, retired professor of educational leadership and school law, Dr. Karen Sconsert, chair of the education department and associate professor at Carthage College, Dr. Jonathan Shaler, professor of communications at UW Parkside, and Stephanie Skilba, Vice President for Community and Government Relations at Gateway Technical College. And now, here's today's moderator for Education Matters.
Welcome to the 2025 WGTD Education Matters Kenosha Unified School District School Board Candidates Forum. I'm your host, Karen Sconsert. There are four candidates running for two seats this spring: Carl Bryan, Valerie Kretschmer, Andreas Mamalakis, and Rebecca Stevens. The Kenosha Unified School Board election will be held on Tuesday, April 1st. I will explain the format and timing for the forum in a moment, but first, as a matter of full disclosure, I want to say that I'm also a professor of education at Carthage College in Kenosha, and therefore have a lot of experience with various KUSD schools. I'm also a former KUSD parent whose child attended from kindergarten through eighth grade. I no longer live in the district, so I cannot vote for any of the participants in this forum. I will also note that we are recording this forum from our own homes, so there may be glitches in sound or unexpected visits from pets and family members. So it's all about life here. We're going to be as tight as we can with timing, but you know, just be aware that that could happen. So the format for our program is as follows. Each candidate will have up to 90 seconds to introduce themselves and tell us why they're running and their qualifications for the position of school board member. After that, I will ask a series of questions and each candidate will have 2 minutes to answer. I will give a 15-second warning as your time is running out. Please adhere to the time limit as well as you can. The order of the candidates will rotate with each question, so each candidate will have a chance to answer first, then second, and then we will switch. At the end of our time, each candidate will have the chance to give a very brief closing or summary statement. So we will start with introductions and opening statements, and you will each have 90 seconds. And I'm going in order by last name alphabetically, and then switch and put. So we're starting with Carl Bryan, but then for the first question, he will be the last person to answer it. So if you're ready, Mr. Bryan, you can give your opening statement.
Very good. Thanks, Karen, for hosting this, and thanks for WGTD for putting on this program. It's always been a very informative program and always a great way for me to engage. I think the last time I was doing one of these, I was on in the studio, so it goes to show how far we've come. My name's Carl Bryan, and a lot of you may already know and remember me from my time when I was previously on the school board. I had served in the years from 2009 to 2015. And ever since then, the reality is I have not, given up on KUSD schools. I've always continued to serve my community through other capacities by serving at the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. I am routinely involved in a number of different projects, primarily dealing with education policy and budget. So, for example, I'm involved in the department's biennial budget requests every 2 years. We put together the department's budget requests around a number of key areas, and it's given me insights in areas like teacher preparation, educator recruitment and retention, school finance, a number of really high-level, important policy topics that are of importance to KUSD schools. The other thing is, I do rules and regulations to get teachers licensed. KUSD is in a difficult time right now, and the reality is we need strong leadership to guide us through the challenges that we have ahead.
Okay, thank you. Valerie Kretschmer?
Yes, thanks, Karen. I appreciate the opportunity to participate in this forum. So my name is Valerie Kretschmer, and I am advocating for transparency in budget spending. I'm a taxpayer in this area, and so that is important to me. I'm also advocating for clear communication from the district and for meeting the legal requirements of our students with disabilities or their IEPs. I am a parent to a KUSD student currently who is in high school. She has a disability. I'm all for security and safety enhancements, but I think there needs to be stronger safety policies within the school district. We have instances all over this district that are happening where they are not safe or secure and our students still don't feel safe. One instance is being able to walk up into a school, buzz yourself in and not give a reason why you're there or who you are identifying yourself. So I am a graduate of Northern Illinois University in marketing, and I started my career as a marketing coordinator and moved into business development with a company that was kind of responsible for working with school districts. I work with Chicago Public Schools, Milwaukee Public Schools on procurement efficiencies and reducing contracts. So I'm working with KUSD staff, parents, and students to provide solutions to a lack of resources in the school district so we can get back to what's most important, which is educating students. Thank you.
Thank you. And Andreas Mamalakis.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you for hosting us. My name is Andreas Mamalakis, and I'm running for school board. My wife and I have 6 children. 3 have graduated out of Kenosha Unified, and I still have 3 children in the schools, 1 grade school, 2 high school. I am running to offer a choice for Kenosha residents. I want to return to academics as the primary focus, as one of my main pieces. Additionally, I want a financial audit and accountability. I want to start from zero-based budgeting, and look at every expense and see what works, what doesn't, what we want to continue to fund. And this, I hope, will free up some funds, give us the flexibility to invest where we want to channel our resources. Any financial cutting should look last at cutting our core mission, which is education and academics. I think if we do good financial accounting, that'll help the third goal of transparency and communication with the community, because my goal is to restore trust, which will help us achieve all our goals. I want to be able to represent the taxpayer more, represent the students more, and the teachers more. So there are a lot of overlapping goals. I was an engineer, I'm a lawyer, and I bring new talent to the board. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And finally, Rebecca Stevens.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Stevens, and I am, I've been serving on the board for many years now. It's been a lot of change over the years, and some of the change has been excellent, and some of the change has been extremely challenging. One of the areas that has really been tough is the fact that we are not being funded at the state level that we should be. We have, if they took the, even if they got us to 60% on the special education budget, we would have $14 million to help close that gap there, because then it wouldn't have to come out of another account that could be used for other things in Kenosha Unified. As far as the budgets go, we go line by line. We will have another meeting coming up, and we will go line by line to make sure that everything is where it should be in Kenosha Unified. I have a lot of experience on the board. I believe that holding the state accountable for funding of public education is crucial. Right now, if you look at voucher schools, private schools, vouchers get 90% reimbursed for special education. It's a lot of money. All right, and I thank you, Karen, for inviting me today to join you all. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for all of those introductions. Now we're moving on to the questions, and just as a reminder, everyone gets up to 2 minutes to offer their answer. Everyone gets the same question. We just rotate the order. So we're going to move Carl Bryan down to the end of the list for this. So we're going to start with Valerie Kretschmer, if you are ready. Question one. How much time have you spent in KUSD schools, and which ones? And how have these experiences motivated you to run for school board?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I mentioned in my intro, my oldest daughter, who is now 14, has been a KUSD student since she was 3. She was in the Head Start program because she had a disability. So she was at Pleasant Prairie Elementary to start with. And I worked with the school district probably about 5 years ago on rewriting their playground guidelines. So it is actually federal law that all playgrounds are supposed to be inclusive since 2010. So I brought that to the school board, the school administrator, and director of facilities, I think director of school leadership at that time. So we rewrote the playground guidelines for KUSD. So you'll start seeing some of the playgrounds that are going in the elementary schools are a little more inclusive. I also was part of the PTA at Pleasant Prairie Elementary because of that project for about a year. I've advocated in this community since my daughter's been in school. So there's things that I'm not happy with that I brought to the attention of administration as well as for schools as far as accessibility, like I've heard from other parents. So I'm also part of the Village of Pleasant Prairie Parks Commission. I joined that a couple of years ago to advocate for inclusive parks as well. So I have done a lot of work. You know, I talk to parents, I talk to teachers that are in this district. A lot of people are just not happy with the way things are being run. They don't feel heard. So I've had a lot of them approach me and saying that, you know, they'd like to see changes. So I've tried to address some of those things at some of the board meetings that I've attended. And just working on getting some stronger policies that are in there so that people are seeing some positive changes with this.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Mamalakis, how much time have you spent in KUSD schools? Which ones? And how do these experiences motivate you to run for school board?
The most time that I had was with Schremper. I had one that went through and graduated years ago. And now I have another one that's a senior. And I have a seventh grader who may end up in Schremper. We'll see where her skills and her interests lie. This exposed me to several issues, which was interesting. Some on outside entities surveying the opinion of students, some involving security, rights, and privacies with the law enforcement that helps us keep the school safe, other issues with sports and academics. My son participated in the soccer at Schremper, which was a really good program. And I noticed this year the Schremper girls won their regionals, and the board honored them at the last meeting, which was wonderful. Both were involved in music and the choir. So I was able to, I was pleased that I was able to communicate with the principals, discuss issues. I have another child that is now at Lakeview, and the youngest that is Kate at East, that she keeps reminding me is now called Lakeview K-8. She likes to correct me. So it gives me a different view of the different schools. And now I understand Lakeview is a charter or a different legal structure with the merger. So there's a lot of, there is stuff I have to learn. It goes to transparency also, because I've asked many people what happened and I get all these different answers. So if I'm on the board, I want to be able to clearly communicate to the community what happens, how the board responded, and what can we expect moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you. And Rebecca Stevens.
Well, I've been a parent liaison at McKinley Elementary many, many years ago, been on the PTOs or the PTAs and all the school levels when my children attended, but really have a great understanding of what some of our children go to before they ever get to the school for the day. So that work has been so important to me throughout my lifetime that I now run a mentoring program that provides extra support with students, for students that are identified by counselors or social workers in the schools that could use a mentor. And the parent has to approve of it, and we all work as a team to support that child, to watch them have more success, grow, and learn as they grow. And it's really important for kids to feel like they belong. As I said, I was a parent for many years and served in every area I can think of for their schools. I'm a grandparent now, a board member, and I have a lot of experience collaborating with staff, board members, students, teachers, and parents on challenges we on the challenges we face. So we all need to work together in order to bring our district up to where we want it to be. We've made some good progress. I think we've got some interesting things with the new reading program. However, it does need to be funded. The funding is available at the state. There's, last time I checked, there was $4.5 billion in reserves, and we need to get that money back into our schools so that we can support our teachers and our staff and all of the people that work to support our children daily. Our children need every ounce of help and support they can get. Thank you.
Okay. And Carl Bryan, how much time have you spent in KUSD schools, and which ones, and how did this motivate you to run for school board?
Sure. So it goes without saying, first of all, that, you know, born and raised in Kenosha, went to KUSD schools, graduated from Bradford. I believe that only in Kenosha is my story possible where somebody, you know, felt the motivation to run for school board at such a young age. And, you know, after losing the first time, got elected, you know, when running again the following year. It is an achievement that I'm very quite proud of. Beyond that, you know, I have family that work and are employed in KUSD schools. When I was on the school board, I visited most, if not all, of the schools, and had been on the board, at a very challenging time during Act 10. And, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to, you know, be active and out there was to be as informed as possible when it came to, you know, the outcome of the budget cuts that happened at that time. Because at the end of the day, you can look at dollars and cents so many times, but you realize you have to go into the schools to see just how, you know, the impact of those decisions is being bared out. You know, beyond that, you know, I serve on KUSD committees, personnel specifically, but, you know, on occasion, you know, we've had gone to other school sites to review plans and changes that were taking place and see how they might impact the schools. And most recently I had volunteered as everybody else here, I think, on this call with Read Across America. And one of my favorite moments was being in Rebecca's granddaughter's classroom as I was reading Green Eggs and Ham. So that was an exciting moment. I thought I was, you know, going to be terrified, but the kids were really good. KUSD schools are top notch, but, you know, what really motivates me is, you know, again, it comes back to the issues that are facing public education today. The reality is that schools are underfunded. Teacher retention is a huge issue. There's a lot of uncertainty, and that's why I'm running.
Okay. Now we're moving on to question two, and Mr. Mamalakis will go first. The question two is, what do you view as the primary strengths and weaknesses of Kenosha Unified School District? Oh, you're muted.
Did that earlier. Thank you. One of the primary strengths I like, which we don't have to change, I was impressed when my daughter went to school, the diverse student body. She was exposed to different cultures, different social economic backgrounds. She blended in comfortably. I was very pleased. I was also very encouraged by the quality of the teachers. I haven't had any problem with all the conferences, with being able to work with them, communicate with them, share my inputs, get their inputs, bounce ideas back and forth. This is actually a very diverse school district. Of course, I learned that Wisconsin leads and was one of the first ones to do charter, for better or worse. But within Kenosha Unified, the ability to choose your school is very flexible. That's not always the case in other school districts. On the weakness side, I think the board isn't diverse enough. I think it suffers unintentionally with a groupthink of high-level of educators. And even though I come from a family of educators, I think it could benefit from a little more variety, and that'll affect realigning the priorities. And sometimes we can get caught with the trees instead of looking at the forest, and we forget that our first mission is education, and we have to go back to that. And I've worked with nonprofits where the funding was so low, we have to have the mentality to do something with what we have and not wait for the money if it's coming late. So I think I'm out of time, 2 minutes.
So you have 15 seconds left.
So yeah, I want to change the mentality. I don't want to wait for the money. And when it comes, we'll use it wisely. if it's not here, we have so many layers of high quality educated people, we should be able to institute a mandate of reading without any dollars. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Rebecca Stevens. What are the primary strengths and weaknesses of KUSD?
Well, our strengths are really amazing for a district the size we are and for what we've been able to accomplish, even though we've been very underfunded since Act 10. So one of the things that I think I am so proud of, I know I'm so proud of, is all the programs that we offer our students. Theater, music programs, all those additional, soccer, all the sports programs, we have amazing programs. I think the curriculum and the educational curriculum is excellent. We need to be funded better so we can continue that. Have different AP courses for our high school students. All the offerings that my daughter was able to take do not exist as much as they did then, and that is due to funding. We have to continue to work to bring funding into the schools so we can keep our high level of teaching. And I'd say that the biggest weakness right now is a lack of funding for our public schools. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Mr. Brian. What do you view as the primary strengths and weaknesses of KUSD?
I would agree with Rebecca about the educational offerings that we do offer our kids. KUSD benefits from having a wide range of options and that, you know, kids don't necessarily have to stay in their neighborhood school. They can go to one of the many choice schools that KUSD has. You know, I was really excited to be at the ribbon cutting for the Lakeview school over in the Kin neighborhood. Was really excited to see KUSD embark on this new chapter of their relationship with the city to be able to provide those options for kids who want to get into STEM fields. But I also say the same for, you know, the music, fine arts, athletics, everything like that. We have a lot, a diverse range of learners in KUSD, and I think we all can acknowledge that not everybody learns at the same rate. But even through the most challenging times, I think KUSD has done an impeccable job of maintaining quality programming and still consistently delivering for kids in spite of the challenges. The challenges, however, are the policy decisions that are being made from the state on down, or from the national level on down, all levels of government, because of the tough financial situation that KUSD and so many other school districts have to face. KUSD is not in a vacuum when it comes to this particular situation. And when we talk about, you know, things like reading scores and student achievement and graduation rates, so, I mean, what really comes down to all of that is underfunded schools. We have teacher shortages, you know, and we have a number of factors outside KUSD's control, but KUSD needs to do a much better job of advocating to make sure that these policies are in place that are going to be benefiting our students and that our programs continue to be sustainable. School districts cannot continue to keep going by funding by referenda each year because we know the state funding formula is just not sustainable.
Okay, and the last person to answer this question is Valerie Kretschmer.
Yes, thank you. So some of the strengths that I see in this district is we have some phenomenal teachers. You know, and you talk about the arts program, I'll speak in specifics to the recent Embrace dance program that we had run by Kelly Griffin. She's actually my daughter's dance teacher, dance coach at Bradford. It was an amazing show that I was able to attend during the school day where they had kids with disabilities opening the show. So that's been amazing. I know we have a great theater arts program as well as choir and band. It's not something I think we should be threatening to cut from our students because of budget issues. So that is a strength of this district. I agree with Andreas. We do have a lot of diversity in our school district, and we have some amazing parents who advocate for their kids. Some of the weaknesses I'm seeing are budgeting and transparency in that budgeting. Parents and staff don't feel that the district is transparent with that. Things change all the time, numbers get moved around, so it just doesn't give us confidence in that transparency. communication from the district is lacking. You know, we're hearing about issues like the student with a gun that entered Indian Trail High School. I mean, it's months later, we're hearing it from news reporters instead of directly from the schools. You know, we're talking about science of reading. I know we're talking about state funding. There is Act 100 that was actually shot down by Governor Evers, which is the framework for spending Act 20 money. The money is there. I know that the legislation is working on that, but that needs to be released by the governor as well as legislators. So we need stronger safety policies in this district as well. They are not being followed. So those are some of the strengths and weaknesses I see in this district. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now we're going to switch up who's going first again. This is question 3. Rebecca Stevens will be answering as the first one. Question 3 is, KUSD's budget must be cut. What areas do you think should be cut, and what process should the board and administration use to include parents, teachers, and students in the decision-making?
Well, we need to all get together and roll up our sleeves and look at this budget line by line. It is available. I know there's a lot of suspicion about budgets that they're not being shown. If you look at our website, we have all our budgets out there. We're going to have to look at every single area and figure out what it is we can cut and what it is we cannot cut. That's not going to be easy. However, if we get the people to really focus on what is real and what is not, and if you go on the website, you can find the budgets line by line. It looks like this year we're going to have to put some freezes on temporarily till we find out what else is coming in. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, we should know everything that's coming in. It doesn't work that way. We have to wait to see how much are we going to get per student, how much, all those calculations have to be done over a magnitude of time. And we don't even get our first injection of funding until after we're in the school year for a while. So we really need to, again, we're going to be looking at every single area. Some of the good news is we have a savings that will be coming up from our insurance. So that's good news. And that's the kind of stuff that we're going to have to look at. We went from 11 to 9%. So there's a drop in that. So that's a good thing. And that's how we get our budget done every year. We go line by line. We look at
your time is up.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Brian.
Sure. So I have experience managing budgets. And what I mean by that is I do this at the state level through my work at the Wisconsin DPI. I've had experience working with school districts on managing their own budgets when it comes to specific grant programs. And I'm also advising program staff on how state budget programs work when those programs are signed into law. And I can tell you when it comes to Act 100, it's not accurate that the law was shot down. It was partially vetoed, but the bill was signed into law. It first started by creating two appropriations, but it was consolidated into one appropriation. So that is the fact. The fact of the matter is the legislature is sitting on that money. And I think this wraps nicely into one of my pieces is that, again, we need to build consciousness around the fact that the state funding formula is not sustainable. We have to work stronger as a board, but we also have to work with our legislators. We have to work with neighboring districts to advocate for fair funding reform, increase public investments, and making sure that they know that we can't just simply cut our way to sustainability year after year after year. But first of all, my priority would be, number one, no increases to class sizes. It seems to be that administration put out a memo saying that they would do that. And number two, they're looking at things like cuts to fine arts and athletics, which should not be put on the chopping block simply because, you know, the referendum didn't pass. I think what we need to do is we need to engage the community in the decision making before the decisions are made, getting our parents together, our taxpayers together, our teachers and our students so that we can all come to the same page as far as what our collective priorities are and figure out what it is we're going to protect. We need to find efficiencies in administration and our facilities. I just read an article about a school district that did an energy audit and it saved them $2 million by going to solar. There are federal programs that do this. We need to look at the fact that we are well over board policy and its reserve policy, which is taxpayer dollars that deserve to go in the classroom, not sit there in the slush fund. And I would go as far as to say that
your time is up.
Thank you.
Okay. And Mrs. Kretschmer.
So I think the areas in the KUSD budget that need to be addressed first, instead of, I agree with Carl, we shouldn't be cutting fine arts programs or increasing class sizes or getting rid of even teachers. I think anybody who is student facing that deals with them on a daily basis needs to be last in assessment. We need to be looking at administrative staff and support staff. If we drop those staff by the student enrollment rate, which the student enrollment rate has dropped by 17% in 10 years, we could potentially save $11 million a year, and that does not include benefits. So right there is a huge cost savings. We have way too many layers at the administrative office. You can ask multiple teachers and parents in this community, and they will tell you the same thing. And we should be reaching out to them more. We should be engaging the community, not just at the district office, but having focus groups and asking them their opinions. You know, my background is procurement efficiencies. I think we need to take a look at the contracts that we have out there. Districts tend to be decentralized in their purchasing. I know there's waste going on at this district within the schools. We can consolidate some of those contracts. We'll work with GPOs, those are group purchasing organizations that sell multiple product offerings. That right there could be a huge cost savings as well. Reach out to local businesses. You know, we have Uline, Amazon, Snap-on. I mean, there's multiple businesses in this community, and it's an idea I brought to the administration that we could be reaching out to them for sponsorships on particular items that we need, like security. And I do think the students should be weighing in on these decisions as well. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Mamalakis, please.
All of these are great suggestions by everyone. I would reiterate some of what I agree with. Definitely, it was hinted that we lost the referendum and therefore we should cut back on AP classes and security. I think this is shooting yourself in the foot. You, as Valerie mentioned, you do nothing that affects your product. You focus on education. We should take care of the security. We should take care of the arts as part of academics. We should fund the basics, and we should take a serious look at administration and support staff. I agree. I hear the same thing. The layers just have grown over time. You mentioned it. I want to make it clear for those who don't know that a lot of the budget is a per student funding, and enrollment has gone down. And we're in the trend of continuing decline. So KUSD was slow to close schools, and that hurt. And we should even be looking now, potentially, what should we prepare for if we have to close another two schools 5 years from now and not wait for the crisis? Again, it's being creative. It's a tough decision. When the schools were closed, were there any staff that were kept? I know they were quick to, you know, cut teachers. Were there any administrative staffs that were somehow moved over and they kept the position? So we need, again, to look at everything and do our best.
Okay, thank you. We have time for one more question and very brief closing statements. So probably most listeners here have heard of the intent to eliminate the Federal Department of Education. One of the major roles of the federal government in education is both funding for and enforcement of special education services. So what are your ideas for preserving education, special education services in this era? And we'll start with Carl Bryan.
First of all, I thank you for acknowledging that, because it's a really important topic that's going to be impacting KUSD disproportionate to other districts without as high needs. The elimination of the Department of Education will inevitably increase inequality in education at a time when students need the services most. And I just saw the map that DPI put out about what the impact would be to KUSD schools. It's about $20 million that KUSD stands to lose if the Department of Ed was cut and federal funding went away with it. That equates to 140 FTE, which you know, of course, at a time when recruitment and retention is bad enough, especially among special education teachers, we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can in part to preserve special education, but making sure that we have the best programs, the best services possible. I am concerned that even now, as things currently stand, that, you know, there's teacher rollover that's very high among special education teachers. Shortages of qualified special education teachers currently put schools in a position of balance between the parents and the limited resources that they have. I think what we need to do is making sure that we do everything we possibly can to preserve special education services, making sure that we're meeting students' needs, that we're incorporating culturally sustaining pedagogy and teacher methods to foster engagement between teachers, special education teachers, and implementing frequent and early screenings to identify issues in learning, and then, you know, address behavioral challenges before they escalate. But, you know, the reality is our policymakers are shortchanging our kids, and we need to make sure that we're addressing it. Thank you.
Okay, Valerie Kretschmer.
Yeah, this is a great question. Obviously, I have a vested interest because I have a daughter who has an IEP through this district. You know, the state funding, we all know, falls short. And I have talked to our local state assembly representative about that. She is aware of it. She is advocating for more special education funding. I know when DEI closes, it's going to go back to the state. So ultimately, you know, we'll have to get creative at the state level to help fund that more. And I think they are working on it. But I also think that we need to responsibly spend that. Right now, students' IEPs are not being met, and they have not been met for a very long time. One particular example where we're really failing is the STEP program that is basically the adult students from 18 to 21 that is now housed at the Boys and Girls Club. They signed a 25-year lease there. It is not accessible. They are on the second floor with an elevator. The elevator shuts down. They have no way to get the students downstairs unless emergency personnel show up and carry them. That is not up to code. It's been addressed with the district. Nothing's being done. They're not going to be moving them. They are not even getting, you know, adult-sized lunches. They're getting school lunches, which is not adequate for their needs. So we are failing those students as well as the majority of our students. I mean, test scores are down. We know that. So we are going to have to get creative. The state is going to have to up the special education funding, but we need to make sure that we're meeting those needs of the students with disabilities. You know, we don't include our students with disabilities. My daughter has been excluded, discriminated against, and bullied. So I think we need stronger policies in place so that our students with disabilities also feel included. It's not just the funding. Thank you.
Okay. And Andreas Mamalakis.
Yeah, it's tough times all around, unfortunately, and we just have to, I guess, make lemonade from lemons. I don't know what the phrase is. We have to look at it and say these are important. We're going to do our best to keep funding it. We're going to try and look at the advantages that if this comes, as Valerie mentioned, to the state level, that means we have closer control and we can interact with people directly and pass those laws and fund it at a state level where we may not have had that intimate relationship at the federal level. So, and then once we get those funds, it's important to spend them wisely. One day the funds will be released at the state level, and we have to manage that wisely. We don't want to spend it on increasing staff that will burden us 10 years later when the funding disappears. We have to spend it wisely, fund it for where the money was intended to go, which is really back to the students, back to their services, support the teachers, make that classroom environment pleasant. Even poorly paid teachers will stay when they love their job and they're supported by the administration. So we need good policies, good follow through with the policies. We need to be proactive and not reactive. And then I think we can at least try our best to work through this difficult time.
Okay, and Rebecca Stevens, special education.
Yeah, so with special education, whatever happens, we still need to take care of our children that have IEPs, and we need to make sure that the state is doing their due diligence. If the state can pay voucher schools, private schools, 90% of the cost for special education, well, public schools is only funded at 30%. We have to get the state to wake up and get on board. And of course, it will be done in a way where there is accountability. We have so many accountability pieces built into our budgets alone that there is no way you can say that they're not serving the students. That money is going to the students. It's just in public education, 30% versus 90%. When I first started on the board many, many years ago, special education was at 27%. We are only at 30% years and years later. It's not okay. These are the children that need our support the most. We all have to get to the level of at least 90%. But I'm going to shoot for 60 right now and see if we can just continue to grow that. Our students, all of our students deserve our love and support. As far as the 20-year lease over at the Boys and Girls Club, it's a 20-year lease, and that will be up in 4 years. So they will be addressing those concerns then. But we haven't had a lot of complaints about that situation. But it'll be good to be able to look at it again. Thank you.
Okay. We all used up most of our time. So everybody gets 20 seconds to wrap up today. We're going to start with Valerie Kretschmer.
Yeah, so, you know, as a parent and a taxpayer in this district, I have a vested interest in making sure that KUSD is run responsibly and focuses on what's most important, which is our students. We need to get back to balancing this budget. We need more transparency, clear communication from the district, meeting the legal requirements of our students with disabilities, and I will be doing that if I'm on the board. Thank you.
Okay, and next is Andreas Mamalakis.
Thank you. It all starts with the board. It started with the board, it'll end with the board. We had poor decisions during COVID. We've had poor decisions for the last couple of years. If people really want to change, they have to change the mentality, and you have to vote for change. That's the only way you're going to see a realignment of priorities back to education. Thank you.
Okay, and Rebecca Stevens.
Well, first of all, thank you, Karen, for holding this again. And I can't stress enough how hard our staff works, our teachers. They're in the trenches day in and day out, and they're doing an excellent job. We have to support them. We have to figure out, again, how are we going to support our teaching staff? We will be
Time is up.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, and Carl Bryan.
Thanks again for hosting. As we clearly have discussed, there's a lot of issues that are facing KUSD, and public education is in a really uncertain time. I'm campaigning on lifting student achievement, school safety and student well-being, and as well as fiscal responsibility. I think it's time for responsible, experienced leadership, and that's something I would bring back if you vote for me, Carl Bryan, on April 1st.
Okay, thank you all so much for appearing here and for running for office. I don't know if everyone knows just how much of a time commitment it is. So thank you all for listening to the Education Matters Kenosha Unified School District Candidate Forum. Thank you to KUSD scored candidates Carl Bryan, Valerie Kretschmer, Andreas Mamalakis, Rebecca Stevens, and don't forget to vote on or before April 1st. Thank you.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard Saturday mornings at 10:30 here on WGTD. Archive programs are available on our website at WGTD.org. Support for WGTD's local news and public affairs commitment comes from Casey Family Options, a tradition of trust. For more information, including how to get started in pre-planning, visit CaseyFamilyOptions.com or call 262-653-0667.
I'm Gregory Berg, and we begin Monday's morning show with a conversation about something that generated headlines in the closing hours of the Biden administration and on the first day of President Trump's second term, the presidential pardon. Why do presidents have such power, and how have they wielded it over the course of our country's history? My guest, Jeffrey Toobin, has written a book called The Pardon, The Politics of Presidential Mercy. Join us for Monday's morning show, beginning just after 8.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, Gateway Technical.